The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Beyond and hello and welcome to Podcast Beyond episode 516. I'm your host, Max Scoville, and this is a show about PlayStation games. And here to talk about PlayStation games with me, I am joined by Brian Altano, Akeem Lewanson, and Ben Watts. What's up, everybody?
Yo.
What's going on? Greetings,
true believers.
Wow. Yeah. So I've brought you here today for a very, very special reason. Let's just cut to the chase. Akeem, Ben, you played Spider-Man 2. You both lived down in LA, so you didn't really go too far, but you got to check out some friendly neighborhood video games. Right out the gate, I just want to know, what is the newest feeling thing about Spider-Man 2? Like, what immediately jumped out at you as being like, oh, this is next-gen Spider-Man?
I mean, I have mine immediately. I mean, for me, as soon as you start going through that city with your web wings, everything changes. You are lightning fast traveling around those cityscapes. And that's immediately felt like I'm playing the next gen Spider-Man.
Did that take away from how fun it is to swing? Because I was kind of like I saw that and I was like, that looks amazing. But also, is that just to get around like, the outer boroughs, because there's aren't as many tall buildings? Because I love swinging. Why would they take that from me?
Well, no, they're not taking it away from us. We still have swinging. You can still zip and thwip throughout the entire city. It's just that, keep in mind, we all know that the city's 2 times bigger now. You need a faster way to kind of commute if you're Spider-Man. We can't jump on the subway. So, you know, they're giving us web wings. And honestly, so right there, what we're looking at in the video, those circles, they're like, they give you these added wind bursts so you can traverse even faster throughout the city. It's a great feeling to just like fly throughout the entire city. I freaking love it. But for me, I would have to say the combat system, it's everything that, you know, we know from the previous two games, but they've built upon that. They've expanded on it. We now have this whole parrying system, which, you know, if you've played like any Souls-like game or even like God of War, you've parried before. I've never, in a game like this, I'm so used to just dodging attacks. You're kind of forced to parry because there's certain enemies that, you know, they have these huge attacks that you can't necessarily you can try to dodge, but you know, you're gonna take some damage from it. So you're rewarded for properly parrying by building up your, it builds up your special attacks. And of course for Peter in this game, you know, he has the symbiote suit. So he has 4 special attacks that he can utilize. Of course, with Miles, he has like his venom blast and his electrical abilities. So those are added incentives for you to actually parry in the game. And in order to parry, what they've done is this, they've created like almost like the spider sense for the enemies to let you know, okay, this is when you should parry, so you can actually go in and inflict more damage on your enemies. It's the combat system has just been blown out in this game, and honestly, I'm in love with it.
Okay, so it's sort of like it's similar to the perfect dodge in the earlier games, where like you'd get the spider sense thing, and then you'd jump over a bullet or whatever.
Exactly,
but just a little more aggressive on that front.
Sure.
So you played a chunk of the game. It sounds like it was very much the same area as like that last 15 minutes demo we got that has like the lizard and Kraven and all that. Was it that same stretch of gameplay?
Pretty much. So yeah. It was we're played. So we're playing. I believe it's a couple hours into the game. And pretty much everything that we've seen in the trailer is what we're playing. So it starts off with Kraven. He's just here in New York City. Peter's looking for Dr. Connors. He's already got the symbiote suit, and Kraven is going after the lizard as well. Peter's trying to save Dr. Connors. What I love is that there's a reason for each and every character to exist in this game. Like, Kraven's after the lizard. Peter's trying to save Dr. Connors. Of course, we have Miles, who wants to save, you know, Peter from being overcome by the symbiote. It's like there's a reason for each and every character in this game to exist at the same time. And that's what I, again, another one of the things I love. This was one of the, so what we're looking at right now in the demo, this was one of the final bosses that we fought, was the lizard.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's like a super lizard for people who are listening.
He's a kaiju. He's becoming a kaiju in this game. He's slowly getting bigger and bigger, and he rampages throughout the city as well, with Kraven on his tail, as well as the two spiders. Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So did you get a chance to sort of do some free roam stuff too?
I definitely tried to take my chances between the main missions to kind of explore the city. And we started on level 25. So they'd unlocked a bunch of stuff for us. So we don't know what that beginning portion of the game is, although there was some alluding to there's something that is going to happen right at the beginning that is going to be a bit of a surprise. So can't wait to know more about that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I ventured out. And one of my biggest pet peeves with the first game is that all the kind of side quests eventually became just samey-samey. A little bit grindy. There wasn't that large a variety. But immediately, you know, they've really upped their game on this one. And the side quests were varied. I mean, you're going to be swinging through the city, and there's going to be an alleyway full of bad guys. And then there's these Kraven tiger-esque robot drone things that kind of appear that you have to fight. And there's also, what would you say? It came these big bird, Kraven falcon things.
Yeah, robotic. Yeah, they're robotic hawks, I would say. I would call them robotic hawks.
Drones.
Hawks. Yeah. Hawks.
Yeah. Or drones, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Robots. And there is a side mission where you get to use your web wings and follow them through the city. And that kind of really locks you in. That's the most I'm just flying without really having to do much effort while you're tailing one of these drone hawks, which was a lot of fun. And I just recently re-platinumed the Spider-Man Remastered, because I knew once this game comes out, what they're probably going to introduce, I'm never going back and playing that game. And that game was one of my favorite games of all time. So I wanted to make sure I get that last playthrough in, and I immediately felt the difference. And it's always a challenge when you go and play the first iteration that's about to get a sequel. Am I going to get fatigue when I go and start playing this new game? And I just wanted to play more. I couldn't wait after I left this playthrough to just... I cannot wait to keep
you
going.
Do you guys feel like, I know over on Nintendo Voice Chat, our rival show, we talked a lot when Tears of the Kingdom came out, we talked a lot about how it put Breath of the Wild in a weird spot where it was like hard to go back to. Do you feel like Spider-Man 2 is going to do that for the first Spider-Man game and Miles?
I feel like it'll definitely do that for the first one. Like, honestly, like if you're playing Spider-Man 2, there's no reason to go back to the first one, in my opinion. There's so much to chew on with the sequel that honestly I don't see why you would want to go back. So it took me, I think on average for this demo, I think on average you can probably play through it for about like an hour and 30. It took me 2 hours to finish the demo, just because, like, I mean, that's just how I am with games. I died a lot of times playing fighting the lizard. But after you're finished with it, you can actually jump back into the game, and you can just traverse the city, and you can do like some side missions and whatnot. I also, there's customization as well. They allowed you to actually customize. So as we all know, there's 65 different costumes in this game. I of course had to rock the Tobey Maguire black, you know, symbiote suit. And for Miles, I used the 10th anniversary costume, which we saw in. It was Miles Morales, Spider-Man issue number 30. And each of those costumes have have variants of each of themselves. So it's like just a different color scheme, different colorway, you know, like they're like Nike high tops.
Right. Yeah. Like they're Jordans that I keep buying, even though they're the exact same shoe, but they're slightly different colors. I dig that a lot. Cause I'm like, I actually haven't been super in love with a lot of the suits we've seen, but I feel like swapping out the colors on them might help go a long way for me. But I'm also like, I played the entire first game with the animated suit. And so I'm just hoping, I don't know if we've seen anything like that just yet, but I want something kind of like, you know, kitschy and classic when it comes to Spider-Man for this stuff.
I'm hoping there's some goofy surprises in there, you know, like I'm definitely, you know, into the, I don't know, the Sam Raimi throwback stuff. Like I think there's something to feel like you're playing a new version of an old game in a lot of ways, you know, like this is my child. I would love to get like the Spider-Man animated series, like the original character
that'd
model
be
in
amazing.
There.
Like honestly, I would hope they'd have something similar to that, as well as like what they did with Miles Morales, which was the, you know, the Spider-Verse costume, and it also had those added features of like, you know, it was kind of jittery and whatnot, kind of like, you know, like the animated movie. I'm hoping that they're going to have something. They're going to bring that into this game as well. I just have to say, overall, I'm in love with this, and I'm going to predict it right now. We here at IGN, I say we, but it's going to be one person that's reviewing this game. I say we here, we're going to give this an IGN 9. And if we don't give it a 9 or higher, then I have an open invitation for the person that is reviewing this game to come on Beyond and let us share words with one another and talk about whatever
they're going to do that no matter what, Akeem. Regardless of the score they give it, they're going to come on the show and talk about this. It's the biggest PlayStation game of the year.
They're welcome just to saying, come talk about that. But also,
it's a weird bet.
I'm giving them an open invitation. Can I give them that? I'm just letting
no,
them
but
it
you're,
them.
It's like you're betting that the sun's going to come out tomorrow morning. it's happening. Don't worry.
I have an open invitation for the sun to come out.
What now, you're before, inviting before is an open invitation from the audience email to kick your ass.
From Dan Stapleton, I want to call out. You played a demo of a vertical slice of the game. Yeah. IGN is not giving this a 9 yet. They might. I don't know what they're going to give it. But just to do a little, you know, I don't.
I should say
that.
I should preface it. I should preface this. It was we did play a 6 week old build of the game. So I mean, a lot can change from now till when it releases. Obviously, you know, the reviewer is going to weigh in, whatever. I mean, like, again, like I played a preview of the game. So I'm just so in love with Spider-Man. That's it. That's why I'm saying that. And I'm speaking from the standpoint of like just a hardcore stan of Spider-Man.
No, I mean, like, I would
see what I did there?
I will be surprised. I would be shocked if this is not at the very least a good game. Like if this is, I mean, I think like Insomniac knows what they're doing. They've been doing this for a long time. The first two Spider-Man games are phenomenal in their own rights, and they've been, you know, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart was like an absolutely bonkers showcase of what you can do on the PS5. And this is what their fourth game that they've made that is using the PS5 tech, and they've been probably working on it for a really long time. The thing that really jumped out at me, there's a great write-up, I think. Taylor Lyles did like sort of a deep dive on the tech side of things over on IGN. And they point out that like when you're flying in the game, you are moving 3 times faster than you could ever move in the previous games. Like just, I think to have like that level, that like that number on there, just like you're 3 times as fast, period. Like that's, which is, and like when you do like a full slingshot thing and you like, you know, catapult yourself up in the air, that sounds really fun. That sounds like really like it's going to be a good time. But I do kind of worry about what you're talking about, where like going back to Miles Morales or, you know, the original, whether it's remastered or otherwise, it's going to be an adjustment. And I can't help but feel like now is the sort of the time for anybody who has any, I don't know, like, I don't think I finished the DLC. Like maybe I should go mess with that now. Like, I feel like that's a fair warning. I think a lot of people are going to replay the older games to kind of get in the feel for things. But if you got any unfinished spider business, this might be the time to go back and do that, because I think this is going to be one of those technical leaps that makes the other stuff sort of hard to go back to by comparison. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Like even like let's talk about just Miles Morales. So like even we remember like, you know, how we would you'd have to move stealthily across certain pathways in Miles Morales. But it's a fixed path. In this, where you can create your own paths in Spider-Man 2, which was just like a great feature. It's like, I want to go this way, I want to go that way. I don't have to jump on a certain, you know, beam or whatever it may be. Like, so like we're looking at right now, like that's a pathway you can create on your own. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a hard adjustment if you going from Spider-Man 2 and being able to do what we're seeing right now, you know, creating your own pathways to going back to Miles Morales, where there's a fixed path that you have to stay on when you want to move, you know, across a few enemies.
No, like customizing the placement of your high wires and stuff is going to change things dynamically. Like, that's really awesome. I'll say, like, on the critical consensus side, which obviously I can't predict what review score we give it, nor do I really give a shit, frankly. I'll be honest. Like, no disrespect to whoever reviews the thing, but I don't, like, I'm not going to personally put a ton of stake in the actual number that's glued to the bottom of the thing that you should all be reading anyway, right? Mm-hmm. The words are the
important part. They're not actually glued there.
Yeah,
they are. They fall off all the time. It's crazy.
Yeah,
there's a guy that has to go in and stick them back on.
Yes, syntax glue.
Yeah, here we use webbing for this review specifically. I would say like my take on these games is that they are very good to great games at their core, and their gameplay is phenomenal. And when they start to fall apart a little bit in the margins and the side columns and the missions on and the sort of extraneous, you know, like secondary stuff that's like not necessarily integral to the core of the game, but when you do want to play more of it and you do want 100% it, traversal is so fun that it makes those things easy. But a lot of the side stuff in the first two games, I wasn't particularly in love with. I felt like it was sort of like slapped on, and a lot of it was very repetitive. So for me, like I just know in my heart the core game here is going to be incredible, and I know traversal is going to feel amazing, and I know there's going to be that thing at the beginning of the game where it goes from cutscene to you have full, you know, control of your character, and you're thwipping through the skylines for the first time, and it's going to be absolutely exhilarating. And then 10 hours in, I'm going to be like, oh, I got to go fight these like little things over here, or like somebody farted above the bay.
Got to swing through those farts. Got to go swing.
Yeah, they make you swing through the green farts.
Somebody's got to pick up those farts with their suit.
Or like there's that Where's Waldo crap with the, you know, black cat. Like, I don't want. So there was a lot of that in the first two games. And no disrespect.
Wait, there was a lot of Waldo in the first two games?
Oh, yeah, dude. There was that entire, entire side. Yeah, where Black Cat would be hiding somewhere and you'd have to zoom in with your little camera and be like, there you are. I found you. Where's the wizard? Where's the girl Waldo? Where's the dog? And so like what I'm really hoping this time around is that stuff is awesome too. Like, and not even, I just hope it's pretty good and better than just okay. Like, that's what because I know the base game is going to be fantastic. I want the side stuff to really shine too. Then I think this will really come together as like the perfect package for me.
Yeah, well, stood out for me, that base game that you talk about, because the first game, the cinematic story of it was so strong. One of the, you know, best, you know, page to screen kind of Spider-Man stories that I think we've had. This one kicks off, as, you know, Kim was saying, we're seeing Kraven but the cinematic quality of it is so high. It is such a, it feels like the atmosphere around it, the sound design, the way it's directed, feels like we're watching, you know, the highest quality animated movie, in my opinion.
That's so cool.
The fact that we get to play through that, can't wait.
Right, yeah. 100%. Like, and like I said earlier, like the way they bring all the characters together, like there's a reason for all these characters to be on screen at the same time. I'm kind of curious to see how, you know, obviously how Venom gets tied into all of this.
We don't know, do we? Like how he gets the sticky stuff on him.
No, not yet. Which honestly, it'll be a welcome surprise. What we played was great. You know, we see why the lizard's there. We know why Kraven's there. We know what's up with Peter, Miles as well. You know, you got to save some things for, you know, for the base game. And so honestly, I'm just looking forward to seeing what this guy's all about. I'm like up a Venom cup, by the way.
Be careful what's in there. I'm super excited to see just like the set pieces. And that's something like anytime like any of these trailers have kind of showed anything, I've sort of looked away, because like those were some of the most incredible and impressive parts of like the last two games, where just like you'd be in a fight on a high rise and all of a sudden it would turn into this entire thing where like buildings are collapsing and there's, you know, buses flying through the air on webs and stuff like that. Like that's the stuff that like, that felt like, you know, Spider-Man movies to me that they completely nailed in the games. And it's just like, mm-hmm. I know that, you know, it's kind of QTE based, but whatever, like it just, you know, they're connective tissue between big fight sequences and the open world stuff. And I love that. I think like, that's going to be really exciting to see what they do on PS5.
Something I'm curious about, and I don't know, this is tricky for you guys to speak to because you played like a later chunk of the game, but there's always that issue with, you know, games where you unlock a bunch of skills and abilities where you either have to dump a whole bunch of new abilities on top of that, or you have to redo the whole skill tree and like relearn some things. I imagine, you know, with the symbiote suit, you kind of get out of jail free card for that. But like, did they have any sort of explanation of like, How are you getting upgrades? You know, because if you played through Spider-Man, you played through Miles Morales, like you have like a entire, you know, toolbox full of abilities and superpowers and stuff that you've already unlocked. And it's sort of annoying to have to relearn that. But did they give a sense of like sort of how they're rolling that out or how they're integrating that or making it just sort of feel fresh without having to like reapply skill points?
Ben, did you? I didn't fool around too much with the skill tree. Ben, did you get a chance to?
Yeah, so some of the skill tree that operated very much similar to the first game, where a lot of those side quests that you're basically collecting those tokens, do a few of these, do a few of that, mm-hmm. and then spend them on the relevant skills. They still had that kind of present, especially with the Venom powers, they have a whole new way of doing it where you're like holding down R1 and then you can spam the kind of face buttons. And that's unlocking different Venom attacks that have their own kind of cooldown that you fight through to boost them up. So that's kind of how they've bolstered that fighting system. But yeah, it felt fresh, at least having just played the remastered. I was like, wow, I've got so much stuff to do, yet I didn't feel lost. Like, didn't feel confusing. Like, I'm pressing the wrong buttons now. It still felt like how it did. Just with now, I just have more to do.
Okay,
God, that's awesome. And I now looking at this, I really want like the animated filter on the symbiote suit.
I want the Spider-Man Cartoon Maker for Windows 95. I want the sound effects.
Oh God, yeah.
So mm-hmm. it just, you know, Kingpin walks in and it's like boom, 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 boom.
Because they did this like very hyper textured look on the skin or whatever you want to call it, the alien tentacle stuff. And I don't know, a part of me just wants like a 90s animated series version of it, but it looks so cool. I guess like one thing I'm confused about is like, you know, you have this like almost infinite cosmetic in terms of the amount of suits and mm-hmm. combinations you can do, but then some of them do have like specific actual like functions, right? Like they, like some of them have the big robot claws, and the symbiote suit, like I imagine you can't just do that in like hot pink and yellow if you wanted to, right?
No, you can.
Mm-hmm.
I believe so. Yeah.
Oh, man.
The thing is like he still has the symbiote on him. So at least for the portion of the game that we played. So you're still beholden to those symbiote powers as well. You still have access to those.
Do you think the symbiote gets pissed off if, like, you know, you let it come out and it's like you're in Venom mode, but then you get like a XXL t-shirt and put it on over the symbiote? Do you think like the symbiote gets like pissed off? It's like, it gets like hot.
Yeah. It's like, we do not.
It just like, it just like eats the shirt and then comes out again and you just put on a larger shirt and just keep doing that.
I think it really hates jean shorts.
I want jorts Venom. Move over, shirtless Spider-Man. Here comes jorts Venom.
I think you should just start doing jorts in real life, period. Just bring those out, you know?
I wear jorts when I'm doing yard stuff, you know? I get out there. This isn't about me, though. It's about Venom.
Yeah, even right now, like what the footage that we're looking at, so we see Peter, he's in the symbiote suit. What you can also do is those mechanical claws still come out of his back. So they can come out of the, so he still has access to those powers as well, or that tech, I should say. So I think it, honestly, for the most part, for what I experienced in the demo is it's just purely cosmetic, at least what I played and the suits that I used.
Didn't they patch in like a transmog thing where you could like, you know, you could be dressed wearing one suit, but you'd have the powers of another one? I feel like that
you can pick and choose.
Yeah, yeah, which is always fun.
Once you unlock the suit and that ability, you can just apply that ability to any suit that you
want.
Yeah,
that's really cool. I like that they still give you like little micro XPs when you're just doing your backflips and such. Cause I did that way too long in the first game because it was so much fun before realizing like if you jump into missions, you get like millions of XP, but like just doing, you know, flips and twirls in the air gives you like three or four. But I did it for like 5 hours just to upgrade.
Yeah, you gotta get that trick XP as much as you can. Absolutely. And like, one thing they included in the whole fight thing, now we have Venom Rage. So you can rage out just like you would do with, you know, Kratos in God of War. When you go into Venom Rage, oh boy, did I feel unstoppable. You could clear that room real quick. It was pretty amazing. That sounds
awesome.
It was a great feeling.
Did you get a sense of like...
I can't recall what they called it.
Oh, interesting.
Did you get a sense of like Venom, of the being a bad boy in the symbiote costume? Did you get a sense of like any sort of ill effects of that? Like... this is something they sort of played with in, like, I feel like Jedi Survivor. And, like, Kratos, the whole thing is, like, he's not supposed to lose his temper because he's got a kid now or whatever. But, like, you know, this is... we sort of see, you know, Peter turn into the dark side a little bit. Like, he's... Venom is bad news. Like, we don't want him to be, you know, trying to crush people with cars and stuff, but he's going to do that a little bit. Was there any kind of, like, morality system or, like, a feel of, like, oh, like, does he comment on it at all when he's doing messed up stuff to people?
You definitely hear, you know, he's a little bit more aggressive in his tone, and a lot of the moves itself, you know, it definitely takes a more brutal effect. Like, he's not holding back any of those punches, although I don't know if Spider-Man necessarily was holding back in the first game when he was kicking people off roofs or anything. But yeah, there is definitely a different flow to his action. It kind of incorporates, but there's no morality system that we saw, I don't think.
Okay.
Not at all. The only morality system was just Miles being like, what's happening to Peter? Like that was pretty much it. It was just Miles commenting.
Did you guys get to try the fast travel at all? Because I tweeted out like a quick clip of like just going from the map to somewhere in the world and how instantaneous it is. Like, we saw it in the showcase last week, and it's just like stunning. And a bunch of people were like, GTA 5 did it. And I was like, yeah, but like it took like 28 seconds, and that was 10 years ago. This is yes, I know video games have existed before other video games, but this feels like way snappier, and like I don't think I've ever seen it done to this effect. So did you guys get to mess with that at all?
Yeah, see, and that was the thing. Unfortunately, at least I did not. We weren't able to switch between the Spider-Man on the fly. But there were certain portions of the game where it's like you're playing as Miles now, and then it switches on. It's, you know, it's just part of the narrative. Now you're playing as Peter looking for Dr. Connors. We didn't get to experience any of that, like switching between the two Spider-Men on
the
fly.
I did read a really cool thing from Paris Lilly and Danny Pena, who did an interview at the event, and found out that like when you're playing as one Spider-Man, you might like accidentally bump into the other Spider-Man in the world who's just out doing his thing, fighting crime, and you could just kind of like tag in and kick some butt. Oh. I thought that was like, right? Like, that's such a fun little detail. I love that so
much. That's a thing GTA didn't do, right? Like, I feel like you couldn't, yeah, like, aside from story missions, you could go to Michael's house as Franklin and like shoot rockets at it, and he would call you and be like, knock it off, quit doing that, stop shooting my house. But like,
I never tried that.
It's great. It's wonderful. But like, that's the thing. Obviously it's an open world game. It owes its fundamental existence to GTA on some level. Sandbox games were pioneered by GTA 3. That's not up for discussion. The whole, you know, zoom out and then zoom into another character thing. Yeah, that was pretty much introduced by GTA 5. But like, this is obviously trying to do very different things. That said, I really hope they borrow the thing where you jump to another character and they're in the middle of doing something weird. Like they're in their own, like when you jump over to Trevor and he's eating a hot dog out of the garbage or like throwing up.
I'm hoping we get that. I feel like they're definitely going to do something like that. I mean, like we saw like when they showed us last week in the state of play, we saw like, I think it was Miles or Peter doing like sit-ups on like a...
He's
vertically like, on a building.
Doing like horizontal crunches or whatever.
I hope we get one where Peter's sitting on that gargoyle and he's eating a piece of pizza upside down. I think that's a good one.
Yeah, I read, I think it was one of the animators working on this game was saying, because somebody was like, oh man, I'm really going to miss the subway sequences where like somebody would fall asleep on Peter's shoulder or like he'd be reading a newspaper or something like that. And those were like really sweet and really endearing and like totally optional, right? Like you could press the button and skip past them. But they said that like in lieu of not having those this time, like there'll be a lot of those like cut cut to another character and they're in the middle of doing something. So I hope they're just like hanging out in the rooftop eating pizza or working out or, you know, hanging out in a comic book shop and stuff like that. Like,
or that's going to be really people fun. Upside down. That would be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big, mm-hmm. that's a big part of that character. I'm actually really excited to see how, like, just this, the moment to moment of how like the New Yorkers are interacting with these characters, because like, I feel like they got better and better with that over the last two games where like, people would be like, hey, it's Spider-Man, and they'd be like, yeah. Can I get a picture with you? And then other people would be like, you almost killed me with a manhole cover.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I made sure to walk around, and you can bump into people, and some of them stop and they just stare at you, and some people are like, hey, look, it's Spider-Man.
I'm walking here.
Spider-Man still took that guy's pizza. No, I'm really excited about the stuff in the margins, and I think it's worth talking about the gliding stuff more, like the glide wings, the glide suit, whatever it's called, but like that
web wings,
which is a font for you on your computer right now.
Webdings.
Come by my Spider-Man web wing, sign my guest book. I'm curious to see, like, or I guess you guys could speak to this, but like, did you find yourself just kind of falling into flying as much as possible, or were you still swinging out of habit, or like, was it kind of a little bit of each? Because like, I don't know. I the thing that keeps coming to mind is Saints Row 4, where mm-hmm. you didn't even get in vehicles because you could run super fast and you could like jump super high. And like, if this kind of back burners web, you know, web slinging, web wall crawling to just fly everywhere, it's sort of, I don't know. I'm like, would Spider-Man do that? Spider-Man doesn't fly, sort of, kind of.
It did. That's sort of how, like, remember like when you turn on detective vision in the Batman games and where you were just like, oh, why would I ever turn this off? I just had it on for like 50 hours.
I definitely think people are going to use that. I found myself using the web wings more than I was swinging around. But I mean, I was also in a, you know, demo environment. But you do lose momentum once you're in the wings. So you are required to kind of get swinging again to kind of get that momentum back up, go back into the wings. But obviously the map being so much larger, it is... You know, it's a creature comfort. It is wonderful to be able to zip around so quickly. I don't know how necessarily they could have incorporated something, you know, if we got rid of the web wings, to be swinging just a lot faster than we were the first game. Maybe it would have looked a little strange. But I think they've handled it really well. The actual wind tunnels, you know, they take a lot from Ghost of Tsushima, where you're like, where do I need to go? And just you see the web, the wind lines kind of trailing you. But then once you're in the tunnel, they give you those, you know,
big circles.
Can people see those?
I don't think I need those. Yeah, I was like, I need those.
I'm trying to picture a guy trying to sleep
in the city.
Yeah, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. He's like, turn the lights off.
Turn off the circles. That's something that I'm actually sort of hesitant about this game, and I really hope it's an option to turn it off in the settings, but like, I feel like there's just a lot of crap. Like, they're trying to avoid having too much stuff on the HUD, but there's just a lot of crap floating in the sky. Like, there's just like a big ass triangle to tell you where Mysterio is, or like, go here.
It's
like, there's just like a bunch of, and it kind of starts to look like Crackdown, you know? Like, I'm like, okay, that's
there are these weird like fractal pieces in the sky. Ben, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. It kind of looked like, you know, when someone's glitching out into the Spider-Verse. Why is there so much crap in the sky? You know, I'm not complaining. Well, obviously there's a reason for all of it, but it was just like, it just looked kind of cluttered to me.
The story reasoning was that they've got like upgraded AR, you know, lenses on. They've incorporated into the tech of his.
It's in his mask.
Whole, like, yeah, and there's like glitching happening through this Kraven camouflage like tech stuff. Like, he's not like Kraven has got some serious tech behind him. He's not just a hunter. He's quite the engineer.
I wish like he does. I think it would be great if like, instead of just like polar fleece vests and like, you know, tech wear or whatever, people just would wear like a big fur vest, you know, just a little bit of both.
Just a big bear.
Those deers never stood a chance. It's not fair anymore. I do wonder if you'll be able to turn all that stuff off. But like, obviously, at the end of the day, I'm like, this is a video game, right? And so like, they have to meet that weird halfway point between like, let's make a cinematic product as much as possible, and then like, let's make something that people know where to go, you know.
Yeah,
back to Max's point though, I don't think the web wings a traversal system is going to replace like the feel that you have of just swinging around the city. It's a nice feature. Also for me, I don't know if this is probably for you too, Ben, but like it's a bit of a learning curve, like getting used to that mechanic as Spider-Man. Cause like you're gliding, you're flying, but it feels like you're really just gliding. So it's like there's a learning curve. I found myself hitting the bodies of water a lot, but you can also skid across water, which was it's pretty cool. If you're going at a certain speed, it's just
I feel like water. It's understated how much those Spider-Man games are just like really fun zone out, like just swing around games. Like that the little thing where you get XP for doing flips and stuff. Like it's that same, I don't know, the you know, cruise around in San Andreas or whatever, just like space out and just move around a big map. Like Forza Horizon's entire model is that, of just being like, you're in a big sandbox, go screw around. Like, and it feels good enough to move throughout it. And like, I guess I'm curious for the people who really just want to one of my very good friends would just get very high and would just swing through New York. He just swing around, just, you know, just chill out.
You can say my
name,
it's fine.
Yeah. One of my other friends, multiple friends of mine, love to just, you know, do their thing and just zone out and go through, you know, swing through New York. But like, I'm interested to see if the Web Wings has the same feel to it, or like if it's as much fun, or if it's kind of, if it, you know, is it a thing you can sort of tune out and just do, or like, are you going to revert back to swinging around? That's not a thing we can figure out until a bunch of people just get high and do that on their couch for a while. Yeah. I mean,
it does feel good just using both, you know, like, I mean, you can swing and then you just start gliding. Like it's very seamless. It feels good just like switching between the two, you know,
it's gaining some momentum. You know, you just kind of get in, you just get in the zone. Yeah. You're just like, oh yeah, I'm just, I don't know. I feel like it's very like dreamy, and you know, you always have dreams where you're flying or falling or whatever. And it's like, that's totally gonna be one of those things where I'm playing this game for 6 hours straight, and then I go to bed and then I shut my eyes and I'm just like, I'm swinging again. I can see it now.
That's how you talk in your dreams?
That is how I talk in my dreams. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Like a little British kid lives.
I don't know why my internal monologue is just a small child voice. Spider-Man. No, is, I mean, back, everybody.
I trust Insomniac. I mean, like they made swinging in these games, like that's one of the best video game mechanics ever. And so like, I trust that they'll knock it out of the park again for the other thing. And yeah, that was like one of my favorite things to do. That wasn't me getting high in that story. I'm a responsible father, but no, one of my favorite things to do was like swing around New York City and just go in circles and dip through alleyways. And all of a sudden you get a call and it'd be like, Spider-Man, six guys just keep, you know, trying to knock this bookstore over or whatever. And you'd go down there and beat the ever living shit out of them. And then you fly back up.
It's funny. You almost just described one of the missions that we did, except someone stole like a bunch of music instruments. That's why you saw Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
That's the drum? Okay.
Yeah. The drum is very special. You retrieve the drum and you give it back to this woman. She's like, oh my goodness, this used to belong to Drummond Joe, or she has like a story about the drum. I'm like, it's just a drum.
Drummond Joe. That's right. The one that came.
I'm not saying like I'm above that, but if I was Spider-Man, I would let that one go. I'd be like, that's all right. You get your own tuba.
She really cared about that drum.
Super villains to have percussion instruments. You get a bunch of those dudes with maracas and stuff. They're even more annoying.
The cops should do something, you know, like they make a lot of money in Manhattan. They should do something. I think they should get the drums themselves.
Spider-Man, the Rhino got a hold of a ukulele. He's super annoying. You gotta stop him.
Like Spider-Man should be like, hey, I'm gonna fight the 40-foot-tall dragon man that's on top of this roof. You go down there and you get that oboe, all right?
I mean, it was funny, though. So Miles did that mission with the instruments. Meanwhile, you know, Peter's like trying to find Dr. Connors. You know, he's right. Like, hey, Miles, you're on your own, buddy. All right. It was okay. Just to explain it a little bit more, it was Miles's mom who said, you know, something's happening over there. You should probably help that museum. Someone's stealing instruments. All right, mom, I'll go take care of that. God, and so that's what happened. He takes missions from his mom.
I used to love, when I lived in New York, I was, one of my favorite thing to do was go to the Museum of Musical Instruments.
Just hang out. It was a museum. I didn't know those existed. Hey, look, this game is teaching me new things. I didn't know there were museums for instruments.
You ever been one of those instrument exhibits where the people get up on a stage and play the instruments? Oh, it's a concert. That's what I'm talking about. But more than that,
why are there criminals trying to knock off a place where you can get instruments?
They want to start a band. Yeah. That's why.
This episode of Podcast Beyond is brought to you by NordVPN, a great way to protect yourself online while also improving your overall experience while enjoying cyberspace. Are you tired of streaming shows, movies, or sporting events being unavailable in your region due to draconian restrictions that are based on completely arbitrary geographical boundaries in physical meat space? Well, switch your virtual location to a place where that's no longer an issue. The same goes for shopping. You can get the best possible deal on subscriptions, flights, hotels, and other goods and services like that from websites that like to play favorites with certain territories and currencies. Meanwhile, encrypted traffic protects your data from hackers, viruses, malware, phishing sites, and other harmful hitchhikers of the information superhighway. Though really, it's more of an information autobahn because there is no speed limit with NordVPN. It is the fastest VPN in the world, so there won't be any buffering or lagging, and it'll stop your ISP from throttling your bandwidth. Isn't that nice? One NordVPN account can be used across 6 devices, which is great. My wife has been using our account to watch all sorts of awful British reality TV shows that aren't available here, like Argument Island or Half Naked Idiots Fall in Love, and everyone's favorite, The Worst People Just Got Married, Let's Hear Them Talk About It. Shows that are so bad they're blocked in our part of the world for our own good, but luckily, NordVPN allows her to trick the internet into thinking she's in the UK so she and her awful friends can shriek and howl and cackle at the TV while I'm trying to relax. I've been using my VPN too. You know what I've been using it for? None of your business. Yep, that's right. And thanks to NordVPN, my data is safely encrypted, all bundled up in a weighted security blanket of incomprehensibly complex math problems, and nobody can tell what it's doing under there. Data, you do your thing. I'll leave you alone. 1 month of NordVPN coverage costs less than a cup of coffee. Coffee can't protect you from cyber criminals unless you throw it at them or pour it on their computers, and you'll probably get in trouble for doing that. So get NordVPN instead. To get the best possible discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/pobeyond. That link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that is nordvpn.com/pobeyond. And now, back to the show.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world. That ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
We didn't get any solo Mary Jane missions in,
oh, thank
in
God.
The demo at all.
Thank God.
Now, well, whether or not they appear is a different thing, mm-hmm. but we did get one Spider-Bot mission, and the only way it reminded me, talking of instruments, is I remember being in a room with the Spider-Bot as you're like going through one of their buildings, and there's like
a xylophone.
A xylophone. Yeah. And you run across the xylophone as the Spider-Bot is like,
why are there so many musical instruments in this game?
Because the criminals are trying to steal them. I don't know why.
That's right. They're all starting their own band in their garage. It's going to be a hoot.
Craven's six, like, I'm Madison getting the band Square together, Garden. Literally.
All right. So
no, I really hope there isn't any Mary Jane sneaking missions, you know, in the music museum or any museum.
So those, tired of all those these were sneaking like, missions.
Oh my God. The pacing would just like come to a screeching halt. Yeah. I remember going from like some crazy epic mission or open world stuff, and all of a sudden it would just hard cut. You know, you'd hit a button or you'd go through a door and Mary Jane would be like, I have to take pictures of a statue. Uh-oh, guess who's here? It's a bad guy. And people would just, it was like insta-fail stealth. And I was like, this is not why I bought this game.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I like to, my favorite thing is to forget about those missions and not think mm-hmm. about them. But hopefully there's none of those. Anyway, Spider-Man is about a month out, which is exciting. Big question I have this year is, are we going to get another State of Play or Sony Showcase anytime soon? I think it's a fair question. We put up a big piece on IGN that breaks down every single State of Play / Showcase that Sony has done since they introduced the whole format back in 2019. And it's, you kind of see some interesting patterns or lack thereof. But, you know, we just had our big State of Play for September, which, was it big? I don't know. It had some announcements. It wasn't exactly the big, huge thing I was hoping for, but, you know, low expectations and disappointment and all that. But in 2019, we got big, huge Ghost of Tsushima reveal. We got Dreams. We got the Resident Evil 3 remake. That was a pretty huge one. That was kind of how they, one of the ways they kind of kicked this thing off, kind of got it going. In 2020, sort of hot on the heels of the, I think it was the big proper PS5 unveiling they did, they had a little one, like a little November state of play that was pretty much just like a showcase on, or not showcase, a they were showcasing Demon's Souls. They did like a little kind of, here's what the game has going for it. And then I think it was out 20 minutes later. In 2021, we got like a third party slash indie state of play that was Little Devil Inside and like Bugsnax DLC. And honestly, like not really, kind of so-so. And then last year, following a September state of play, we didn't get anything. And so now I feel like we're kind of like, you know, we saw that show, that state of play, and we're like, okay, is that it? Are we going to get more? Is Sony going to come out? Like, what do you all think? What are the odds of that? If so, what do you think we're gonna see? Brian?
Got to be a blog post.
Yeah.
I think they're going blog post. They're going to do one big blog post before the end of the year, maybe a tweet.
Wow.
I think, yeah. I don't know. I should be here being like, yeah, get hyped, everybody, get excited. But I will believe it when I see it. If they're like, hey, we're doing another one, we're going to show off the PS5 Slim and Ghost of Tsushima and all this other stuff. But realistically, I think they're going to do a blog post and they'll be like, hey, here's a, you know, a peripheral. It's out next year and it's $400.
Akeem, you think we're going to get any PSVR 2 love anytime soon?
Probably not. Which is totally fine. You know, I made the mistake of purchasing it, so you know, I'm already bought in. But I do think we do have another piece of hardware coming out, the PlayStation Portal, that's coming out this year. I feel like it would be kind of funny though if we did get another big thing and then they kind of like led with that, like introducing the PlayStation Portal. It's out now and you can play your game on the toilet. Which is what you've always wanted to do, right? You know?
Yeah.
I'm hoping we get something later on this year. I'm thinking maybe November. I think towards the end of the year, there's got to be something more, because you know what we saw last week was just that week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, what more can they show for PlayStation Portal though? Like, it's a very specific device that they've already.
Yeah,
already selling it. You can already pre-order.
I don't want to know more about it. Like, I don't particularly care for it, but like, it does sort of seem odd that the big reveal we got was it's coming out later this year, and it's we have a code name for it. It's like you could have named it and then revealed it, but sure, whatever. And then like the fact that is supposedly dropping, it just seems kind of like it's being sent out to die. But yeah, I mean, I would also maybe a blog post, but I don't know. Yeah, it would be nice to get like a little. I don't know, maybe a look ahead of what's coming in. Maybe we'll get like a deep dive on Final Fantasy Rebirth. I could see that happening. That seems like a safe bet. Ben, what do you think we got coming down the pipe?
I think last time I was on the show, I was like, they're definitely going to do something big before the end of the year, because Christmas is when they sell consoles and that's what they want. That's the time. And I think maybe some cynicism has crept in between my comments. And now I'm just like, do they even need to? I mean, when Spider-Man comes out, what's the length of a runway you need before making the decision to do a state of play and actually doing it? Is it a few months? Is it a few weeks? I don't know.
Right.
Does Spider-Man blow the doors off? And then they're like, you know what? We can just ride this out. This is selling enough consoles. We don't need to put any money on announcing anything else. Or maybe it comes out and people are like, yeah, it's pretty good. And they're like, let's drum up some more buzz. I don't know. And so it just leaves me as, you know, I'm going to go, yes, they're going to do one, because why not have one of us say it? They're absolutely going to do one. And
get hyped, everybody.
Doing this. Yeah.
It's happening. No, you're right. They're selling every single console they make. And Spider-Man is going to be insane. Like in terms of sales, like that is going to go absolutely bonkers. And that's going to be one of those games that is going to be in the top sellers for a very, very, very long time. So like they're good. And, you know, like if it wasn't for Spider-Man, I would be a little cross with them right now, because I'd be like, what's going on? What, this isn't enough. I need more. But like this, they're putting this massive new game out. It's out in a month. It's, you know, current gen exclusive. It's not held back by those consoles from 2013 anymore. And yeah, I'm good. I'm a happy camper with this game. You know, I would like to know more for next year, but this is a good way to close off the year, I think.
Huh. Well, one game that is sort of a PS5 console exclusive, not really on purpose by anyone, is Baldur's Gate 3, which a lot of people are playing. I'm playing it right now. I love this game so much. It is hovering around Game of the Year level for me, which I was not expecting. I thought I'd be into it, but like it is an immensely fun, satisfying game. I also, from 10 miles away, I did not expect it to be a fun co-op experience, but it is. And I did a very corny thing with my wife. We went on a Baldur's date, and I figured I could do a little show and tell here. I sent her a whimsical Renaissance style text message. I made this stupid Photoshop that says, "Willst thou go on a Baldur's date with me?" Featuring erotic cheeses and sensual wines and what does that say? Stupid costumes and pretend kissing. And then I wrote a little text. I sent this with the invisible ink effect, so it looked like a wizard sent it, and she had to like scrub it to like reveal it or whatever. But I wrote, "Hark and forsooth, fair maiden, this Friday's eve wouldst thou don gay raiment and sup on cured hams and elegant cheeses, while House Scoville casts its collective gaze upon a talking picture most suitable for poppets? Then, once the babe slumbers, embark upon a magical journey in a phantasmagoric realm conjured forth by mathematicians, artisans, and demonry. Pray send word by sundown, m'lady." And shockingly, my wife said that yes, she would play video games with me. But yeah, I made a whole thing out. I made little Renaissance plates. Like I made like a whole little cheese platter. I got little sausages. There's so many sausages in that game, and you can actually use them as weapons if you want. You can hit people in their face with sausages. That's a thing.
I'm glad you peeled the skin off the sausages. A lot of people forget to do
that. It's horrible. I don't want to eat that. I don't want to eat that halfway. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's weird the way you did it, but I'm to start.
Where I can eat that whole salami in one sitting. But yeah, then I made like little fancy leeked tarts, herb twists on them. And we put on stupid costumes. We just kind of like dug through our wardrobe and we're like, I put on like suspenders and like rolled my pants legs up. So I just look like a 9 foot tall hobbit. And my wife was like, "All right, whatever, let's do this." We threw on a Sword in the Stone for my kid, and she was like, "This is a surprisingly boring Disney movie," and she was correct. But then we got into the game.
You look like a guy that would die in a chimney.
More so than usual?
Yeah.
But no, so, and then we jumped into the game, which is really the whole point of this. But like, the co-op in that game is so, so smart and so easy. And I highly encourage anybody who wants to just like screw around with it to do it, because you basically, like, you can have your file going, like you can have your game set up. You literally turn on a second controller, the screen splits in half, and then one side of it is just a character creation screen. And that's it. And so basically the other person, player two, creates an additional character in the game that's already running, and they can't make any story decisions, but they can like go in combat, they can wander off and do their own thing on their own, they can go start fights, they can pickpocket, they can steal apples and cheese from orphans' pockets. I did that, you know, because I'm a jerk. But it's just like, it's a remarkably like, I guess, especially compared to the more recent things I've caught, which is like Elden Ring, which you have to like, eat a dead guy's finger or ring a bell or whatever. And like, in this case, you just turn on a controller and it's like, bloop. And like, it is a technical wizardry that like this game is basically running twice pretty much. And when you come into like a story conversation, you basically like, you can just sort of go from split screen to full screen and see what the whole thing is going on. But it's just like, it was just super like fun and painless. And I was totally expecting it to be like one of those dumb headaches where we're like, "Oh, we're having like a fun video game date night," and it just like winds up being a total pain in the ass. Ironically, it was sort of a pain in the ass for like analog date night reasons, where my wife made a whole character, got through like the first, you know, the whole opening tutorial area of the game. She gets into a cutscene and she goes, "Oh, I hate my face tattoos. I think I want to change them." And I'm like, "Are you serious? We're like, we can't get out the door because you got to fix your makeup." And so she goes back to the reroll screen, rerolls the whole character. And like, because my character was created in that character's game, I had to like speed run making a gnomish bard named Lemmy, who looked like the dude from Motorhead. And I was just like, you know, flipping through all the, you know, hair options or whatever. And she gets into a cutscene with the second one. She's like, "Oh wow, I hate the haircut of this one. I'm just going to reload the first one." I was like, "Ah." So I'm just like, Okay, whatever. But once we got into it, it was super fun, and it's hilarious because like we totally play games differently. Like she's very much like she wants to make the good choices. She doesn't want to make anyone mad, and I'm like I'm gonna steal cheese and apples from orphans. I'm gonna. At one point, she got mad at me, and I just took off my clothes and started playing an instrument, like in the game, not in real life. But you can just drop trow and just start like playing the flute or whatever. And also, if you want to do a double Baldur's Day, you could do that, where like two people can play locally, and I believe just do co-op with two other people playing elsewhere. And so we're gonna try to sort of, you know, squad up with another or party down or whatever you call it. And this game is just so much fun. It is like so stupidly just it. If you can conceive of doing something, you can possibly do it. Like there's a lot of like very weird scenarios you might wind up in, like. My wife she jumped down in like a mine shaft the other day and like was stuck, and she like couldn't figure out how to get out. And so what she wound up doing was she just made all of her party members just go home, go back to camp. And then she turned into a bird and flew away because that's a thing that she could do as a druid. Yeah, I don't know. I just like, I'm just enamored with this game. Like it's so much fun. I think the last time my wife and I were like this much in the same game. Well, I was probably just actually Zelda earlier this year, but it's, I don't know. It was cool to be on the same wavelength with that. And I highly recommend that for anybody who wants to look. It could also, it doesn't have to be a date. It could be a friendship adventure.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, Max, I think the key to what you did, the key to success is already being partnered up, because I tried the same thing. I sent a similar text to this person I've been seeing, and they said, "You're weird," and they blocked me.
I thought you meant like having the accounts on the same PS5, but you meant like...
No, like, I mean, like I tried legally to set up a Baldur's date.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to set up one. I sent Will... I know this is second date number thrice, or whatever I said. I said, "Date number thrice, shalt thy go out with me."
Yeah.
And she said, "No, you're weird, and you didn't say any of that old English properly."
Yeah, it is. Well, it is
every date is a Baldur's date when you're married to this guy.
Brian pointed at himself for the listeners, in case you're wondering.
Listening at home, Brian does not have a lot of hair on his head.
That's right.
He likes to make Baldur's
bring that up all date
jokes. But no, this game is phenomenal. I'm dying to play more of it. Ben, you've been playing a bunch of Mortal Kombat. Can you tell us about Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, I've been playing quite a bit, but it's all basically on one mode. Because whenever I get into any of these fighting games, I want to know, what's the story? That's the most important part.
Why are these people hitting each other?
I'm not going to just hit somebody unless I know their backstory. And so I'm working my way through. I haven't finished it yet, but I'm working my way through Mortal Kombat 1 story mode. And it is as delightful as any well-done B-grade action film. It looks fantastic on the PS5. It plays so smooth. They've done so many smart choices with the actual fighting. I love being able to do the fatal blows. We all love a bit of violence. And I love that Mortal Kombat is the most of the violences in any of the fighting games. I think, you know, for people who haven't played the series before, or maybe not into fighting games, but love a bit of action movies, I think this is right in their wheelhouse. But one thing that I was a little, not disappointed, but I found it curious, is this is not like a full reboot. They reference, you know, the previous games.
Yep.
And having some knowledge of those games will definitely benefit you. So when they were going Mortal Kombat 1, this is not, you know, a complete reboot of this franchise.
It's a reboot of the this universe. Because I remember in Mortal Kombat 11, there was like a reboot of the entire universe, and they were like trying to reconstruct this the universe. So this is kind of like, it's not like a reboot of the entire. It's kind of like it's a continuation of the franchise, honestly.
Yeah, because I mean, if you are a fan of Mortal Kombat and you did play 11, you finished that story mode, you find out there is, you know, Kronika and the timelines and all this other stuff. So this is a rebooting of that timeline. Mm-hmm. And Liu Kang plays the timekeeper in this timeline, and how he's kind of trying to create the peace this peace, this continued peace, and how, and all the conflicts he runs into. It is curious that when you're going through the story mode, that you're not given a great introduction to the fighting skills of each character. Each chapter will kind of drop you in the shoes for a few fights of a new character along the story. But then I found myself, I had to stop. I had to hit the pause, go, okay, what is this character's moveset? There's no necessarily intuitive way of picking up what this character does particularly well without stopping and kind of figuring it out for yourself. But I mean, if you don't, if you're not into fighting games necessarily and you're not that passionate about the intricacies, you can button mash your way through and it's still a glorious good time.
Nice. What's the best fatality you've seen so far? So you have to describe it because we learned something, and that's that the fatalities, I don't believe, have official titles. And we found this out awkwardly because I guess like the IGN like guides department was writing, you know, how to do the fatalities, the guides to do them. And they just kind of, they were like, well, they don't have like a, you know, they don't say like the name of the fatality. You kind of have to just describe it or whatever. And they did that. And then I think some other outlets who shall remain nameless use those same made up titles in their guides, which is a little, oh my. But it is really funny to me that it's like you have to sound like a third grader when you talk about a fatality. Like you have to be like, you know, the one where it's like Friends episode titles. It's like the one where Johnny Cage, like, you know, does a kicks your head off and it goes into space and he puts on sunglasses and then gets a pile of $1 million or whatever. And it's like it sounds stupid, but it's. It is stupid. It's Mortal Kombat. The fatalities are wonderful. They're completely over the top.
Well, the one thing I would say against the story mode is I haven't actually done a single fatality because I never get to a screen that says finish him. There's never that moment. It's either you knock him down in the story and the story keeps on going. Mm. You get the fatal blow. Now that is something you can use if your health is down enough. But that doesn't always pop up in the story mode. It's depending on who you're fighting, whether you're just trying to get past them and kind of subdue them, or you want to actually kick their butt. But that's bizarre, and I'm only realizing right now how weird is it. I haven't done a single fatality in the story mode.
That's odd, yeah. I mean, it makes sense because it is also... Like, even if you're messing with multiverses, it does kind of break the narrative a little bit to just completely eviscerate somebody and then, you know, maybe have them in the next scene. Like, it's sort of, you have to do some messed up stuff. Like, you're swinging somebody around by
especially
their own intestines.
You know, the line before is like, I really don't want to hurt you. And then you proceed to hurt them real bad.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We're looking at
one of the characters was basically hung by their intestines. And then four zombie people came in and did that like a quartering thing where they used to do with horses on bad people or whatever, where they yanked their limbs in every direction. Just awful. I love it. Just beautiful, awful stuff.
They brought back one of my favorites, which is the one where I think, what is it, like Cyrax comes out and his chest opens up and he just shoots these balls everywhere and then they blow up and then it zooms out and you see the Earth also blows up.
IGN tweeted out the side-by-side of like the original one in the 90s where like the Earth is just like a sprite and it just blows up to the new one now. And it's just, it's so funny that Cyrax just brings like a backpack full of exploding balls.
It's so good.
I mean, what a sacrifice too. You just blow up the Earth. Yeah. You're just trying to kill one person. What are you doing?
Like you fatality'd the entire planet.
It's also just like, I feel like it's as far as, I don't know, choreography goes, you don't really do much. It's just like, and then the Earth blew up the end. I always say like, you know, there are those Pokemon that were invented at like 4 o'clock on a Friday, like Voltorb, where it's just a ball with eyes and you're like, wow, you guys really didn't kill yourselves to make that. And this one is like, they were like, all right, you got to write one more fatality, you can call it quits for the weekend. They're like, he shoots bombs out and the world blows up, can we go to the bar? This is like, leave, let's get out of here. No, I'm into that. Have you run into Van Damme yet? Like,
sounds so threatening.
Yeah. Have you seen Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Do you have bed bugs?
Yeah.
No, Van Damme hasn't made an appearance in the story mode. I know the skin is sitting there. I have seen it. And I think it's his get up from like Bloodsport with those short shorts from the classic 80s short shorts. But no, I have that skin. I think I tinkering around, I actually was like, okay, equip that skin. It doesn't port into the story mode that
I guess I didn't realize going into this that like it is, you know, it is toying with like multiverses and stuff and like messing around with like, you know, the same stuff that's been explored in like, you know, Spider-Man and Loki and all this other stuff. But like, you know, the Flash, like everything is doing multiverses. But like, I remember initially being like, oh, they got Van Damme in Mortal Kombat. Like that sort of just feels like kind of, you know, it's DLC. Like it's a goofy little, you know, cash in type of thing. But now I'm like wondering, do they go to a timeline where Van Damme was Johnny Cage? Because like, that's not too far fetched, you know, like that's kind of actually makes sense. Like if they figure out a canonical way to have Van Damme in Mortal Kombat, okay. Sure. I mean, we had like Alligator Loki, you know, I'm okay, fine, do it. I'm into it.
I hadn't seen that yet.
That sounds great.
That would be perfect, but no, I haven't come across that just yet.
Yeah, I'm really...
They have a really fun cameo system, cameo with a K, because that's how they roll, where it's if, you know, depending on which character you use, you can actually use a different character, really compliment, who just, you press R1 and they'll just pop in, deliver their punch, whether you need somebody who can deliver something up on high to kind of break their block. That's really fun. And I like pairing those. Although in the story mode, you don't get to choose who you're given. And, you know, Sub-Zero, you know, he doesn't even get a character. He just gets an elemental, like an ice elemental who just pops up. But, you know, it's a great little system, you know, to kind of differentiate it from the other game.
I think that's cool. Yeah, like NetherRealm's really good about like having a sort of strong fundamental. Like the fighting game is at its core. It is not. They're not reinventing the wheel. It's a fighting game, but then sort of sprinkling in these other little elements. Like Injustice had the environmental attacks, which it's, you know, it's like a situational special move that, you know, it doesn't break the game. Like it's part of the game. But it, you know, if you want to not do it, you can go ahead and not do that. Like Mortal Kombat, what, like 10 introduced the X-ray moves, which are just, you know, they're just especially stylized special moves or whatever. And like in this one, I'm really curious to try it out. I haven't actually, you know, taken it for a spin, but I love like the early reveal where it's just like original 90s Sonya Blade just like running full sprint and then like punching someone in the face and then running back. And I'm like, this is It's like I definitely the least, like from what I've seen, kind of the least sexy of you know, their sort of little, you know, additional mechanics. Like it's, you look at like X-ray moves and it's like, and like someone's rib cage explodes. And then you look at this and it's like Kano has to just like hoof it out on the level, just, kick someone in the head.
It's so funny that they kept the K thing going all these years for all these other words. Like it's such a funny bit because like the whole reason it existed to begin with, I think, was because like they were having trouble copywriting with a C, the original title, and went with a K and got it through, and then we're just like, hey, that's awesome, let's keep that going.
Do you think that they ran into legal issues calling something a cameo with a K because that's like a rare game? Like I wonder if they.
I feel like if there's a lawyer working at Rare protecting that game, he's the least busy person on planet Earth. Like that's that game got one, it got one, I mean that series got one game like 20 years ago and most of us try to forget it existed.
Well,
so.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad they got the cameo fighters in there.
Yeah, that's right. I'll talk smack on an Xbox exclusive on a PlayStation podcast. I don't care. Cameo, you suck.
Hey, so speaking of I don't know how we're like, we should probably bring it up. Basically, Xbox's next 5 years leaked. There were a bunch of documents attached to a thing in this, you know, the FTC emails and whatnot. And it doesn't have a huge amount of bearing on what Sony's doing. I'm sure they're taking notes and paying attention. But aside from Phil Spencer's unfiltered thoughts on the PS5 being like, Xbox is better, our thing is better, which is, that's fair, he works there, he should be, you know, go team Xbox, that's his job, but like it also, you know, it basically revealed that the next console generation is going to kick off in 2028, which is, I don't know, mark your calendars, plan accordingly. And then next year it looks like we're going to be getting a you know, mid console cycle upgrade, whatever you call it. There's an Xbox that looks like an Amazon Alexa, an Amazon Alexbox, as it were. I mean, we're probably going to get a little PlayStation Slim with a detachable disc drive, maybe, based on what we've seen. There was that dude who like leaked a clip of him holding a little console.
Still, which is what I think is going to be in the blog post.
You think that's going to be the blog post? Yeah. It's just like we made a.
I know. I do. I think that okay. PS Slim is going to be in the blog post. That's the going to be the big.
It's going to be reveal that PS Slim Pickens for topics on this podcast. That's for
get
damn,
your
for
web
damn
browser
certain.
Ready because yeah. Hot blog post coming down.
Head over to PlayStation.blog. It's the website.
Update
for...
Chrome. Update Firefox. Whatever you're using, Safari. Up, get those ready because that blog post is going to be a scorcher.
Yeah.
Get your Bings ready.
I don't know.
No, I think it's the 2028 thing is interesting because this console generation started in 2020 and obviously was off to a weird slow start because of the pandemic and supply constraints and stuff like that. 8 years feels, you know, just about right. I think like the last one was about, well, there's it's hard to say because there's always that last 2 or 3 years where like there's some cross-gen stuff, and then there's like 7 years where Just Dance and Madden still keep coming to a system long after it's been killed or traded in. But yeah, I think 8 years feels like a good place to be. Right? Like my question is sort of like I don't know if we've necessarily seen anything that like requires a mid-generation hardware refresh just yet. You know, like games aren't necessarily struggling, right? Like you guys played Spider-Man for several hours. Like, were you sitting there being like, "Oh man, this PS5 just really can't hold up. Can't do it. Got to get a tougher console out there." So like, I don't know. It is interesting, but it's also a good lesson to be careful of your email attachments, I guess, and not put 8 years worth of hardware and software plans into a PDF.
Well, it is kind of a nice vote of confidence for anybody who just jumped on a PS5 and is worried that they're going to get, you know, left out in the cold anytime soon. You got 5 years. And even then there's undoubtedly going to be some, you know, some cross-gen type of stuff, but it's, I don't know, sort of weird for one company to have to show its entire hand while the other is like, what will they post on their blog in the next mm-hmm. 3 months? Who's to say? We don't know.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't show their hand on purpose. I guess that's the only thing.
But, no.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that in 2028, like the PS6 launch games will, you know, there'll probably be one or two of them that run on your PS5. Like Ragnarok came to PS5, you know, that wasn't a launch game, but it was there early on. Like right now there actually isn't a ton of like specifically PS5 exclusive first party stuff. You know, we've got Spider-Man and Demon's Souls, Returnal and stuff like that, that didn't come to last gen, but a bunch of those games were cross gen for a while. And I think as long as, they're able to ship consoles in 2028, then yeah, you know, you'll see some stuff that's like kind of bridging the gap a little bit. I think the big thing this time around was like, no one could buy a PS5. And so the install base was puny comparatively. And why would you spend 5 years working on a game and just putting it out for 5-10 million people when you can put it out for 150 million, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll see. It's very interesting to wake up and just see renders of the next Xbox and their next controller and that they're doing gyro controls and stuff like that. Like it's just very odd to see all that laid
out.
You
say gyro?
Giro?
It's Heroes.
Heroes, yeah.
It's Heroes controls. Mm-hmm. It's got tzatziki sauce on it.
Yeah.
it's a weird thing to look at. I feel like it's just between that and GTA 6, it's kind of odd to just be like, well, here are massive, massive things that are happening sometime in the future. Like, well, I guess we'll just kind of, we'll sit here and wait until it happens. But like, you know, ultimately there's not, yeah, you look at, you know, current gen games, you know, current gen being PS5, whatever it, where does it go? You know, like that thing is supposedly what, 8K compliant or something? Like there's a little 8K symbol in the box.
Right.
I don't need 8K. Like I can't.
No one does.
Yeah.
We don't even have 8K televisions in people's houses yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not yet. I don't know when that'll ever happen.
No, I don't want, I don't know, I want better, smaller games. Like, I feel like the problem is this sort of, this war of escalation where everything has to be like, you know, photorealistic, open world games as a service, and it's just, it collapses under its own weight, and it's like, I don't know, like, scope things more
so they're
realistically.
So they're saying like 2028 is when we're going to get like new potentially next gen consoles. Is that what's
yeah, basically. I mean, it's Sony's either going to come a year ahead or a year after or the same year, but somewhere around there. Yeah.
So it's, do you all think it's more so just to keep, you know, keep up to pace with like what's happening with like, you know, PC graphics cards? Like it seems like we get a new one, you know, each and every year. That's what it seems like. You know, we got the 2080, we got the 3090, You got like all of these different advancements. So it'd just be like trying to just keep pace with, you know, PC gaming.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think it's also like, you know, consoles are an incredibly lucrative business for these companies. And so it's in their interest to refresh them frequently, launch new ones frequently. Like if you look at what like, the, you know, iPhone's doing, basically like what Apple does is, you know, they're like every year there's a slight refresh, and every 4 or 5 years, maybe people jump on board and get a new one. Some people get it every other year, whatever it is. But with consoles, it's weird because we're trained to buy these things like once every 7 or 8 years and then just hold on to them for a very long time. Sometimes some people go 9, 10 years without buying new ones. And so, yeah, it is. I think that's part of it. Like, I don't know, like if they're being drastically held back technically by what they're proposing right now. Like, I don't know how many developers working on PlayStation games are going like I said before, like they're going, this is not good enough. We need to get stronger. But yeah, I think it's a little bit of what you said and a little bit of just like, it's good to get excitement from the consumers to get a new box out, you know, out by Christmas or whatever. Yeah. What's weird to me is that like the console generations are like kind of forever borked because of the Wii U. Like the Wii U failed so hard that Nintendo pulled the plug on it and launched the Switch, which like rumors state that we'll probably get Switch 2 next year, which means Switch 2 gets like a 4-year jump on the install base of the PlayStation 6 and the Xbox Z or whatever dumb thing they call it. So yeah, it's like the, you know, the pacing is all funny and off to me, but yeah, we'll see what happens. Like we still haven't seen what the mid-generation refreshes look like. If those are just going to be cosmetic or like just smaller, or if it's going to be like a PS4 Pro where we get like a proper, like playing games in a PS4 Pro, like properly felt like you were playing something more powerful than the base PS4 you got to launch.
Yeah, I mean, you get a bigger hard drive and a bump to 4K or HDR. Yep. Like it was like, that was sort of sizable differences. Like that was substantial. Like this, in this case, like you know, and I try to be sort of forward thinking, and there's definitely smarter people than me in a room somewhere figuring out what next. But like, just as somebody who, you know, occasionally likes to throw a few hundred bucks at a new video game system, I'm trying to think what would actually make me do it in terms of like technology, you know, like I think it has to, you know, and again, like, we're, you know, to be like, oh, the future is VR or the future is like a portable thing. I feel like you're going to reach a point where cloud gaming is going to be so ubiquitous, and like you know, Apple just dropped, you can have games on your phone. That's pretty wild. What happens if you, I don't know, AirPlay Resident Evil from your phone to your TV? Is that a thing you can do? Is that a thing you can do in 5 years? Because if it goes from like, oh, you buy a controller and you pair it with your TV and you play games through that, what are you buying a $500 machine for? You know, like if you can, you know, cut out the middleman, so to speak. And like, it's funny because Sony's sort of doing the exact opposite with the project key or the portal or whatever, where it's like you're buying a new thing to do a thing your phone can do already, and it's, you know, their job is to sell some hardware, sell some technology, but it's just kind of, I don't know, they're, it's selling, kind of baffling. Yeah,
they're selling the like the DualSense form factor on that. Like that's the key there, is that it's like I have a backbone controller and it's awesome and it's great. I can slap it on my phone if I take the case off, which is kind of annoying, but now it won't work because the new phones have USB-C. My thing is, it's a pain in the ass, but like this thing specifically is like, you know, the Project Q or whatever is like, it's got all the functionality of a DualSense, right? Like it's got the Heroes controls, it's got the, you know, touchscreen stuff and all that, you know, it lights up. But it is interesting because it's like Sony still wants to sell consoles. Like everything that they're selling right now is additive to the base console experience, which is like, you want to do VR? Cool, you need a PS5. You want a handheld? Cool, you need a PS5. Whereas Xbox is kind of like,
you want a handheld? We don't care. We got tutorials in our games. You gotta learn how to play the game. It's too easy. You've got baby mode. You got a handheld right there.
Their whole thing is like, play our games anywhere you want. Play, you know, we don't really care if you buy a console or if you play it on your phone or a PC. Like, you know, as long as you buy the game or you pay the subscription. And like, they're getting trounced in console sales. And, you know, PlayStation's selling a lot more than them. Nintendo's selling a lot more than them. Do they care ultimately? Are they playing a different long game? Is that going to pan out in a smarter way? Who knows, right? Like that's what they're banking on right now. And Sony's not really doing that. They're still kind of sticking by the traditional business model of selling consoles, and it's working incredibly well for them. So yeah, we'll see. Like it is a, you know, I don't know if it's a tortoise and hare thing and which is which, but they are definitely competing in slightly different ways right now.
It's weird, right?
Yeah. And they're both, you know, they're both falling back into the heritage of their they're corporations, you know, we've got a, mm-hmm. we've got a software company and we have an electronics company and yep. they are doing what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I, that PlayStation Portal, ooh, is it irrelevant? But ooh, are they going to try and sell a lot of them?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people are going to see it in a store and be like, whoa, the Vita is back. And, you know, it sort of is, if you imagine it.
Well, the funny
can
thing
I just
is,
update I could, my Vita.
I think we yeah. can do that, right? Didn't we?
Yeah.
Just like saw yeah, in half a DualSense controller and just like a
exactly.
on the side.
Somebody's
I mean, that's what I did with,
totally
with
doing
my
that,
extra
probably.
iPhone. Like, this is just oh. an extra iPhone. I just
is that
created
tape?
My own. No, it's not. It's the PlayStation Portal. It's a
what
official,
is that?
What did he do?
It's enough.
What is disgusting.
Akeem is holding up
here.
A thing. You got where did
what
you?
What is that controller?
Did you cut a controller in half?
The PlayStation. It's a foam pad. It's like an.
It's
a, yeah. I was like
it, made out of foam.
Wait, is that you tape? Have a foam DualSense that you cut in half and taped?
Yeah,
to your...
well, I broke it in half with my hand. I was so angry with my PSVR 2 one day, and so I just squeezed it, and it just.
Wait, you were so angry with PSVR 2 that you broke a fake controller that you weren't using while playing.
Yes.
We're like, the show's almost done today, and you just drop all this crap around on us right at the end. We have all these questions.
Look, I have a lot of these. I get angry a lot, and I was like, hey, I can create my own PlayStation Portal. Let me just, I have an extra iPhone.
Uh-huh.
I found underneath my couch.
Give us a demo. Turn it on. Show us how it works.
All right. So what you do is, oh, the phone's dead. I mean, the
yeah,
portal's
try,
dead.
Try.
It's got to be.
Well, that's that classic DualSense battery life right there.
Yeah, you got to.
Actually, my dad got this for me. I was like, Dad, I really want the PlayStation Portal. Can we pre-order it? He said we have it at home. So this is the at-home version of the PlayStation Portal.
What is, I, right,
well,
I,
if
no,
you
like,
want to save a couple
what,
hundred bucks. Yeah.
What is the control? Is the controller like a toy controller you cut in half?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a foam pad. Yeah,
oh,
it's
like
just it's a foam.
Like stress ball.
Like a
stress
ball.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah. So I got stressed out one day and I squeezed it in half. I didn't cut it.
Did they seriously make one that's like a third of the size of a dual, like it's like almost the right size? It just
yeah.
looks odd. It's a very little
Akeem, I think if you're ripping stress balls in half, what you need is therapy.
You should try eating the stress balls.
I don't want to rip my therapist in half. I have anger issues. Are you kidding me?
Finish him.
All right. Well, there it is. That's about all the time we have for today. I didn't really expect it to go that direction at the end there, but it did. Gentlemen, where can people find you? Brian?
I'm on Twitter at Agent Bizzle, so go check that out or follow me on Instagram, whatever you want to do.
Akeem?
I create some weird content on YouTube. Just follow me everywhere at Geek Heavy.
You just launched a new YouTube channel, didn't you?
Yes, I did. It's called Think Heavy.
Think Heavy. That's what yeah. my therapist tells me not to do. Ben, where
so
can people
rip them in half.
Where can people catch what you're up to?
Well, you can always check out IGN socials. You'll always see me up on there doing all kinds of fun stuff. But if you want to follow me, it's Benny Watts everywhere.
Nice. Well, thank you all so much. And on that note, beyond.
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 Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.